Okay, gotcha.
All right. Being able to get to hear the preaching last night was a blessing. Just the whole week, it's been a blessing. And you helped me, for sure. And
amen.
I'm going to leave this conference just even more excited about what God's called us to do. And to be able to kind of get a leg up again for the next meeting. And we're just appreciating that. I appreciate the food we've had. It's just been great. Thank you for the room. It's been very comfortable. And just the fellowship we've been able to have has been great. And to meet the other missionaries, meet the other men of God here, and make some connections. And we just thank you for that. And if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to John chapter 6. John chapter 6 in verse 1. This message this morning is going to be about surrender. The title of this morning's message is, Why Give Him My Basket? Why Give Him My Basket?
Amen.
And it was alluded to in one of the other messages, or someone spoke of it, about this young man in this chapter that decided to give up what he had. And he gave it up to the Lord freely, and gave it completely over to God. His basket, you might say, with his two small fishes and with his five barley loaves, what he had at hand. And that's going to be us tonight, this morning. That's going to be us. We're going to be, let's make that jump, that leap. We're going to picture ourselves as this young man, this insignificant person. And then the five barley loaves and the two small fishes is what we have in our life. It may not be much, and that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for this morning we can preach, and thank you for the opportunity. We thank you for your salvation, Father, the free gift that you gave us. Just help us, Father, as we consider what you want from us. Just help us to have that willingness to surrender to you. We thank you for everything you do for us. We pray these things, and just please fill with your power, with boldness, with liberty, and we pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And so there are some good reasons, I believe, why God is deserving. He's worthy of our life. He's worthy of everything. We can look at the first reason. It's not going to be one of the reasons that we're going to go to today, but I believe one of the main reasons that God deserves our life, He deserves our basket, is because, we're going to use that illustration, but is because that He purchased us at salvation.
Amen.
And God didn't just purchase us, the Bible says, with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And as of a lamb without spot and without blemish, and the lamb slain from the foundation of the world for you and me. And God purchased us at salvation.
Amen.
We belong to Him. The Bible says that we are the temple of God. We are God's. Our spirit and our body are God's. We need to glorify Him in those things. And how do we glorify Him in those things? Well, it begins with surrender. We need to give over to God what is rightfully His. And so there's some other reasons this morning as well that we're going to look at in this passage that I believe we can also make a parallel with. And so the first reason why I believe God is really deserving of our basket, of our life, is because we read in verse 2 of this great multitude. The Bible says, and a great multitude followed Him, because they saw His miracles, which He did on them that were diseased. And this great multitude followed Him, and they, of course, you all know this passage, what we're talking about, this the feeding of the 5,000. We're not going to read the whole passage, but in verse 2, this great multitude followed Him, and that's one of the main reasons why I believe God wants our life. There's a great multitude, and this great multitude followed Him. They were hungry, and they had need of a physical filling to fill their hunger, their physical appetite.
Yeah.
And that was important to Jesus. It's not just the spiritual things that Jesus is concerned with, but He's also concerned with our physical needs as well. We need to pray for the spiritual things, but God is also concerned about our physical needs. And I like how Jesus, when He saw this multitude coming in verse 5, He lifted up His eyes and saw a great company come unto Him. And the first thing that came to Jesus' mind was, how are we going to feed these people? And you know what? Jesus doesn't look down on what we need. Those things aren't too small for Him to answer. Actually, Jesus said that we should pray for our daily bread. And you know what? I'm convicted about that. I don't pray for my daily food. I don't pray for those basic needs, but we take it for granted, though. And but God said that we should pray for those basic things as well. And He didn't take for granted they had that need. And He said, "Where are we going to buy bread? When shall we buy bread that these may eat. And just a simple thing of eating. And he said this to prove him in verse 6. And he said, for he himself knew what he would do. And Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. In other words, you know, we have 200 penny worth of bread here, 200 pennies or whatever. That isn't enough to fill this multitude. They might come away with crumbs. We're not going to do it. And one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here, which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And so often, you know, God doesn't need something great to meet a need. God just needs His own power. He's powerful enough to take care of the situation. He doesn't need our help. And He didn't need this young man's help, though He chose to solicit it. He took this young man and took his basket and went and proceeded to multiply it and to bless it. And we see the end result of that. The whole multitude was filled. In verse 12, it says, when they were filled. And I like that. So often we can skip over that. But you know what? This miracle was great. They took just what 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, and he was able to meet the need of 5,000 plus people.
Amen.
There was men there. There was their children. There was their wives, and God wasn't, you know, God didn't have any problem meeting that need.
Right.
And the whole passage, I believe, is just a picture to us, an illustration of that verse we read. Without God, the Bible says, with God nothing shall be impossible.
Amen.
And God just reiterating that to us over and over again, especially in the New Testament. Jesus did some wonderful miracles. And this multitude followed him wherever he went. They saw his miracles and they were amazed. And they wanted to keep following him so they could see more miracles that he did. And so they followed him, but yet they were hungry. And this multitude, though it was just a simple need of bread, Jesus didn't look down on that. But Jesus met the need. But let's make a jump. Let's make a leap, a spiritual leap. You know, there is something more important today that people need, not just bread, okay? People need bread, sure. In various parts of the world, there's people today starving because they're not going to be able to get their next meal. And, you know, we take that for granted. But there's a greater need, and that is a spiritual need. In verse 27, this is the crowd that he fed that day went away fed. But then this other crowd of people that came from that feeding came back to him again and said this, and they came and found him in verse 25. When they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi or Master, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me, not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled.
Yep.
And he was saying, you know, you came to me again, because you want another, and you want another meal.
Right.
But he said, you know, that's important, but he said, in verse 27, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. And they proceeded to ask him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? And they didn't get it. They didn't understand it. He said to them, he said, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent.
Amen.
And so often people today want to work their way to heaven. And Jesus is shaking his head at them. You know, if someone would just take the message to them, tell them that the work of God for them to do is to believe on Jesus Christ. That's all they need to do, believe on Jesus Christ. Then they said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? And He had already done this miracle.
Right.
He had already completely fed their appetite. They didn't see the miracle done. They had unbelief, maybe. They didn't believe what happened right before their eyes. They skipped over the miracle as well, even though they were there. He said, what do you work? What sign are you going to show us? He had already done a great work, done many great works, and yet they did not believe. And Jesus was pretty much saying to them in verse 35, let's skip down to verse 35. The main thing was this. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life, and he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. And
Amen.
You know what? They came to him for that for another meal. But he was saying to them, you know what? That's important, but there's something more important, and you don't have it yet.
Yep.
And he said in verse 36, he said, but I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believed not. And the sad part about it was they filled their bellies, but they never believed on Jesus Christ.
Right.
And you know what? The physical was more important to them. They came, you know, for those physical needs, but they never came for the right reasons.
Right.
You know, there's people that fill our churches today, they come for the wrong reasons, I'm sure, but God is trying to get those people's attention. He's trying to get your attention. Yeah. If that's you today, if you come for whatever other purpose this church might afford you, maybe socialization, it might be that you have family in this church. It might be for other reasons. But why do you come to church? Why do you fill the house of God? Why do you come to God? Is it because you're saved?
Right.
Is it because of the right reasons, or is it because you're coming from some other reasons? Some like these people, they came to Jesus and they said, We want some bread. We want to fill our bellies. And Jesus said, That's not what it's about. It's about me.
Amen.
And he said, I am the bread of life. And this great multitude that followed him, they needed the physical bread, but there's a greater multitude this morning.
Right.
Around the world, and it starts here, but around the world, that need this bread of life.
Yeah.
And the reason why I believe God is waiting on us, he's looking at us. Maybe there's someone here that hasn't made that decision to surrender to God. Maybe, you know, you have surrendered to God, maybe, but maybe you have tried to take back some of your life. You tried to take back some of the things you gave to God at one time. And you're holding back on God again. But God wants you to re-surrender. God wants you to re-up your surrender today. But there's a great multitude today that is waiting on your surrender.
Yes, sir.
Just like that young man that had that basket in verse 9. The Bible said, there is a lad here. And it didn't, you know, there was nothing special about this young man. He was just the only one that seemed to have anything. There were other men there, I'm sure, that had something that they could have brought, but it was a young man that came. And he was insignificant, just an insignificant source of blessing that day.
Yep.
But yet he chose to come forward. And he was all they had, apparently. And but yet God used it. And so
Amen.
That is a picture to us. You know that God can take what we have. We may not, you know, maybe the person that God would have used didn't surrender. Maybe this person over here that's available God would use because this person over here that he was going to use did not surrender. And you know what? You know, if you don't surrender to God, God's got someone else in line to answer the call.
Right.
God's not limited. He can use somebody else. And it doesn't matter, you know, what you have in life. This young man had 5 barley loaves, and he only had 2 small fishes. And yet God was able to use that. And God can use what you have. It may not be much. And we sing that song often, little is much when God is in it. But do we actually believe that? What we have is insignificant. I don't care who you are in here. It's not, you know, our flesh is not going to get the job done. It's not our personality. It's not our talent. God is going to use you, but he's not going to use you because of you. He's going to use you because of him and because of his power. God's going to get glory to himself. He's not going to give glory to you. But God used this young man that day to reach a multitude. And there's a multitude for you and me to reach.
Amen.
And if he was able to use a young man in this situation to reach a great multitude, I'm kind of convinced in my mind that God has a great multitude for you and me to reach.
Yes, sir.
And there's people that God would reach through you and me in our life. And
that's right.
And I'm sure that when we get to heaven, God has great expectations from us, that we're going to reach a great multitude. God has great expectations. Though we may not have great expectations of ourselves, God has greater expectations. And God is expecting a great return on our lives. But it starts with surrender. And I believe that there's not a person in here that is as surrendered as they could ever be. I believe that we're all in that growth pattern.
Sure.
Where we're all learning to surrender more and more as time goes by. But the more that we surrender, the more that we let God have of our lives, the more that we have of him, and the more of his power we have in our life to reach this great multitude. There's people we pass every day. There's people in the streets that we pass every day at the drive-through, at the store. And God is expecting our surrender. And in surrender, God's gonna make us follow him. He's gonna make us follow him where he's gonna go. And where's Jesus gonna go? He's going to go after sinners. Jesus is going to take you and lead you to people that need the Lord. And as we surrender, God is expecting that we're going to have a burden for sinners. God has a burden for sinners. If we're surrendered, we're going to have a burden for sinners. And so take this illustration today of this young man. He didn't have much, but he surrendered it. And the Bible says in verse 11, and Jesus took the loaves. And when our life leaves our hands and our possession, our control, our will, get that out of the picture. Let Jesus have control. The moment that happens is when our life becomes special. Before this young man gave God what he had, it was nothing special. It was just probably going to fill himself, and that was it. But yet he brought it forward, and Jesus began to multiply. It became something special. Give your life to God, and let him do a work in your life. Let him multiply Amen. Your life, because that's what's going to happen at surrender. I remember when I was 18, I got saved. There was about a few years there, though, that it was up in the air. Until I heard a message one day from a young man that has surrendered to go and to be a missionary to China. And he preached a very simple message, but he said, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." And you know, there's that decision you have to make in life after salvation. You can't just expect that, you know, you're going to serve God with your life until you've made that decision. There is a concrete decision you need to make in your life. It's just as important as after you get saved. The next important decision is, God, here's my life, and take it. And Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, that's the gist of it. Give your life to God. There's no greater decision after salvation than giving your life to God. And he took what he had, and he multiplied this young man's provision and blessed it. And this multitude got filled. And because of that, I believe God is waiting on our basket, waiting on our life. For surrender, so that he can use us to reach a great multitude. It could be a multitude that you'll find around here. It could be a multitude, next door in another state. It could be a multitude somewhere around the world.
Right.
But God has a multitude for you to reach and for me to reach. Amen. And no one but you is going to reach that multitude.
Yes.
You know what? God isn't limited by his power, but we can limit God. And God wants to reach the whole world. But I believe that, you know what, we all have to pull our weight. There's going to be people in hell because you or me did not go and tell them. There's going to be some people in hell because we did not surrender in some area. We did not reach those people. And there's somebody attached to that person that they could have given the gospel to that person. And so we need to surrender, every one of us. Like it was said, there's a general will. And God has a general for everybody, every one of us. And each one of us is personally responsible to fulfill that will. Let's surrender today. Let's not bind God's hands. God is waiting on us to surrender. God's not limited in any way, but yet we can limit God. And so let's surrender. I believe another reason why I believe God would have our life, would have our basket, not only because there's a great multitude, because there is one, and there's people perishing going to hell today, but also because I believe that God wants to do a great miracle through you. And you know what? I believe that God wants to do miracles today. I don't believe that God is done doing miracles, though I don't believe in any of this faith healing. I don't believe in any of that.
Right.
I believe we could pray over the sick. I believe, like the Bible says, anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. Pray over the sick. But other than that, I believe the greatest miracle that could be done today is salvation.
Amen.
And I believe it's the greatest miracle that could be done. And so I want to be a part of that. I don't want to just, you know, go through life and be a humdrum Christian, never see God do anything great in my life. I want to see God come through in some areas. I want to see God see some people saved and in heaven because of my efforts. And you know what? I want God to get the glory through that. I want God to see some sinners saved. And so there's a great miracle that needs to be done. This great miracle happened here in this passage. There was 5,000 people filled. That's a great miracle, but God wants to do a greater miracle through us. And there's a great miracle that God wants to do through you. And so, you know what? I can't think of any greater miracle than salvation. Just the opportunity as you talk to a person, as you clearly give the gospel to somebody, to see them. And see that understanding begin to work, and the Holy Spirit begin to work, and to see somebody that before you came to talk to them, knowing that this person was on their way to hell, and then after you talk to them and they're convicted of their sin, and you see that, and you see that this person obviously the Lord is working in their heart,
Amen.
And they decide to make Jesus their Savior, and to see that happen right in front of you. Just the greatest joy you could have in this world after salvation, to see somebody come to know the Lord. And I'm grateful for the day I got saved. That was great joy. I don't believe there's any greater joy, but the next greatest joy is that somebody else gets saved.
Right.
And we can have a part in that. We can be a part of that. We don't have to go through life and be fruitless.
Right.
We don't have to go through life without that joy of seeing others saved.
Right.
But we can have a part of that. We can partner with God and watch Him do miracles before us if we'll only surrender. And you know what? It takes a surrender of the will to do that. You know what? We can take our lives, and like this young man, he had a basket full of food for himself, and he would have been happy that day, I'm sure, if he would have just left and used that for himself. But not as happy as he would have been had he given that to the Lord. And so we see that that day when he surrendered, when he gave his basket to God, and God began to multiply it and do a miracle through him. And after the fact, we have him recorded in Scripture today. We can read about this young man. Didn't name him, but yet we know he existed. And we know that God preserved it in his word for us. And we can see that, you know, here's a young man, our example, an example for us to follow. A young man that had enough willingness to give what he had. He would have been happy just to keep it to himself, but it would have been selfish.
Right.
And so he could have been satisfied from it, but yet he chose to give what he had and he sacrificed it.
Amen.
And you know, he didn't know for sure. I'm not sure. Maybe he did have faith, but he didn't know for sure what was going to happen with that. When he brought it forward, he just sacrificed it, and he gave it to the Lord, not expecting anything in return.
Right.
He gave it to the Lord and probably thought to himself, you know, I'm going to miss out on my meal today.
Yeah.
But yet he gave it to the Lord and decided to sacrifice it so that God could do a great miracle. And God did come through. God did multiply it. And at the end of it, I believe the next greatest, another good reason to give God our basket is because not only did it feed a great multitude and people were satisfied. And in eternity, you surrender your basket, your life to God, there's going to be people in eternity because you surrendered in heaven. And not only because God can do a great miracle through you, and it's just a joy to see God work. It's a joy to see that God works through us. But also because I believe there's great blessings that come, that flow from surrender. As this young man surrendered his basket, and God multiplied it and met the need, and he did a great miracle. Also, we can read later on down through the chapter after the fact that these people were filled. In verse 13, the Bible says, therefore they gathered them together, these fragments, in verse 12, and filled 12 baskets with fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above and unto them that had eaten. And, you know, I wondered to myself, as this young man gave his basket, at the end of the day, I'm sure he walked away with more than what he came with.
Yeah.
And when we surrender to God, when we give it to God, when we give our life to God, our whatever it may be, it's you know, to Him it's insignificant to God according to His power. His power is what's going to get it done. But
Amen.
But God will still work through us even though we're insignificant. And but yet we see the leftovers. And God blessed this young man's surrender. I'm sure he came home with more than what he started with. And as we surrender to God, you know, there's that temptation to think that we're going to lose our meal. We're going to lose our meal for the day, so to speak. We're going to lose it all because we gave it to God. But no,
nope.
No.
Right.
God's blessings, you can't outgive God, but God's blessings flow from surrender. And the more we give to God, the more he gives to us.
Yes.
You know, we can't outgive God, and God will never be a man's debtor. Let me tell you that, you know, since the day I surrendered to God, you know, that I had thoughts to myself of that. I thought, you know, I'll give my life to God, and you know, I'm afraid he's going to send me to some mission field, and I'm going to be destitute and all this. And, you know, I'm afraid God might call me to be a missionary. And I'm afraid God might send me somewhere I don't want to go. I'm afraid God might tell me to do something I don't want to do. And I might lose out on the deal, but no.
Nope.
No, it seems as you give to God and he gives back to you that peace, that joy, that contentment,
right.
that fulfillment that you're in God's will, there's nothing better than that. Those people that that don't decide to give God their life, that don't surrender, will end up regretting it.
That's
They'll know that God had touched their heart.
Yeah.
at one time, and they'll feel like they had missed it. And we can all testify of people like that. I heard of a story of one. My youth pastor told me about a man that had done that. He was very involved in church and everything, but yet getting to know the man, my youth pastor found out eventually. This man, he felt God had led him into the ministry. He would want him into the ministry, but yet he decided to disobey that, to do his own thing. And still, in years gone by, later on in his life, he always had that tinge of regret mixed in his life. And don't let that be you. Don't wonder what God would have done if you would have just surrendered, if you would have just been obedient. But there's great blessings that come from that. There's physical blessings that come from that. There's tangible blessings that come from that. But there's intangible blessings that come from that. And, you know, I'll give God. And let me just say that, you know, in surrender, when God has your life, it's not you. It's up to Him. It's His program. It's not your program. Give God your life and leave it with Him. And leave everything else to Him. It's God's program. It's God's plan. And it's God's power. And let Him do the work. Let Him work through you, but don't be afraid to surrender. Because God's got it all. And in verse 6, I like that verse. And this He said to prove Him, for He Himself knew what He would do. And the moment you give your get your hands off your life, give it to God. He knows what He's going to do. Trust Him through it. Trust Him with your life. Don't have some kind of fear. I remember when I surrendered, I knew God was moving me and in this direction to be a missionary to Panama, and I had that fear. I had that trepidation. I'm not going to lie. I mean, you know, I thought to myself, just like this young man, you know, who am I? Or like Moses, who am I? God, that You would call me. But yet that confirmation and that peace eventually took over. Just as time went by and I prayed about it and sought God about it. That fear and all that trepidation, where does that come from? It doesn't come from God. It may come from us, but it definitely comes from the devil. Right. And the Bible says that God has not given us the spirit of fear.
Right.
And that fear does not come from God. But if God, you feel God is working in your heart, don't let that fear sidetrack you. Don't let that fear lead you to make the wrong decision. Let that faith lead you to make the right decision. That young man came forward with what he had and sacrificed it. He felt like he might have missed the meal for the day, but found out that he got much more in return.
Yes,
and don't be afraid what God has for you. Be faithful, and be surrendered. God has a plan for each one of us.
Yeah.
And He'll show you what that is. He will. Like you say, He's not hiding it from you. But He's waiting on your initial surrender. God's not going to tell you what it is before you surrender. And I believe that surrender comes first and foremost. God, what it is, whatever You have for me to do, I'll do it.
Right.
Doesn't matter what it is, I'll do it.
Right.
And that's what God's looking for. And and then God will lead you in those areas. And the will of God is not hidden from you, but surrender. And let God take your life. Let Him multiply it. Let Him meet that need of that multitude. There's people out there that are waiting on your basket. They're waiting on your testimony. They're waiting on your witness this morning. There's people out here that are, you know, if you don't tell them, no one else will. And there's a great miracle that God wants to do through your life in seeing souls saved. And there's great blessings that come from surrender.
Amen.
Let's not make the wrong decision in this area. Let's make the right decision. Let's go through faith, not through fear, and surrender to God. Let's go ahead and bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we just thank You for the message this morning. Help us. Thank You for the other messages we heard this morning. Father, just please help us in this conference to make the decisions that would be pleasing to You. In Your name, amen.